Our God is a mighty fortress. He's the one who shelters, who watches over, who cares for, and protects us. We come in the name of Jesus, our Savior. In his precious name, amen. I invite you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn to our text for this evening. There are some fairly difficult things to understand in the reading this evening from Matthew chapter 11. As we look at Matthew chapter 11, we're looking at the kingdom of God. And our prayer is, this night and always, thy kingdom come. God's kingdom will come of and by itself. We'll say more about that in just a moment. But in God's holy word, all the way from the beginning of Scripture, the first readings in the Bible, in Genesis, in the very beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, in effect, my kingdom will come. God told Adam and Eve to obey him, and they chose to try to wrestle the crown from God's head and put it upon their own heads. Isn't that what Satan did? Satan wasn't glad to be, he wasn't content to be the servant of the Almighty God, but instead he rebelled against God with a third of the angels along with him, and God, by his almighty power, cast them to the earth. And cast them to hell. That's where they'll be and wait until the final coming, the final judgment. From the very beginning in Genesis, God promised Adam and Eve that one would come to be their Savior, the Messiah. And what we're hearing again in tonight's text, as we read from Matthew chapter 11, is that all the way from the very beginning, from the law and the prophets, they testify to God's promise. They testify to the law and to the gospel. They testify to the fact that God would send a Messiah, the Savior of the world, who would redeem his people. Those who had rebelled, those who had gone their own way, you and I and others before us and all who follow after us, who sin, we fall short of the glory of God. And God sends a Messiah, a Savior, to rescue us, to round us up, to die in our place for the forgiveness of our sins, to restore us with our Heavenly Father, that relationship that existed from the very beginning. We pray, thy kingdom come. We will pray it tonight, and how many times have you folded your hands and closed your eyes and bowed your heads and prayed these petitions of the Lord's Prayer? In the first petition, we pray, hallowed be thy name. What we pray, Luther said as he wrote the small catechism, is not that we can do anything to hallow God's name, to make it holy. It is of itself holy. God is separate. He's set apart from all of creation because we're infected, we're affected by sin. God is without sin, and therefore he's holy. He's set apart. In this petition, we pray, holy be thy name in me. Help me to live according to your word, to teach and preach, to live your word of truth. And as I live your word of truth, that helps me to holy your name. The second petition, you know, thy kingdom come. Again, Luther says, there's nothing that we can do to make God's kingdom come. God's kingdom will come of itself, by his desire, by his holy will. But we pray in this petition that we would be a part of that kingdom, that his rule would be in our hearts, in our church, ultimately over the whole world, and finally that his kingdom would come in heaven. In the third petition, we pray, thy will be done. You got it. You might have guessed it. Luther says there's nothing we do ourselves to make God's will done. It will be done because of God's almighty power. But in this petition, we pray, Lord, let your will be done in me as I live for you. And again, as I live in your holy word, help me to be holy in your name. Help me to be the one in whose kingdom you come. I'm a part of your kingdom. Let your will be done in and with and through me. You see, that's what I think Jesus was saying in our text for tonight. He said from the very beginning, the law and the prophets gave testimony. God's will, God's kingdom comes forcefully. Are you looking at the words? It's a hard text. But he says God's will comes forcefully through the law and the prophets until now, that is the time of John the Baptizer. As John the Baptizer came, he came preaching and teaching the word of God to all who would hear. And the people from Jerusalem and Judea and all the countryside came to find out what was going on out in the wilderness. He came baptizing for the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As John came, he was speaking about the coming of the kingdom. The kingdom is near you, he said. Repent and be ready. And Jesus said, you are very near the kingdom. Jesus came to bring that kingdom that was promised to Adam and Eve, that was promised through the law and the prophets. And it came with force because God's almighty power makes his promise, makes the kingdom come. His desire, his will for all to be saved, for all to come to the knowledge of the truth, for all to know Jesus as the Savior of the world. God's kingdom comes, but it also says in our text that there are people who come against that kingdom. See, God's desire is that his kingdom come perfectly. The kingdom of power in the world, the kingdom of grace, that is through his church, and ultimately the kingdom of glory, God's heavenly kingdom. That's God's desire, but as long as there are people on the world, as long as the devil is active, there are those who come against God's kingdom. Those who by force throw into prison those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you can tell, but in this lower image, this was the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, at the foot of the cross, ultimately jeering at Jesus, ultimately forcing him to go to the cross for their sins and yours and mine and the sins of the world. There are people who forcefully come against God's kingdom as if that would do any good. God's kingdom will come. His will be done. His name will be holy. We pray it, but God accomplishes it by his almighty will. In our text, Jesus said, what do we compare the people of this generation to? Well, I'd compare them to people of our generation, yours and mine. But what Jesus said in the text is, well, the children, the people of that generation are just like children. You know, they want to make merry and they want to force others to be merry because they tell them to be merry. Or on the other hand, didn't we sing a dirge? Don't we want you to be sad? And we expect that you will be sad. In other words, we want to call the shots. We want to do what we want to do, and we want you to do it because we expect, because we desire, because we demand it with force. That's what Jesus said the people of his generation were like, and we know that the people of our generation are the same way. I want to do what I want to do because I want to do it. Doesn't it sound like a bad child? Doesn't it sound like you and me? Doesn't it sound like the world in which we live? God? God's will? God's kingdom? God's desire? No. We want what we want because we want it. We continue, this generation in which we live, continues to rebel against God. But God's kingdom will be done. God's will be done. His kingdom will come because of his almighty power. God, in the meantime, sends people at various times throughout history so that his will is heard as a way to do and to bring about his kingdom. We think about a man like Luther during this weekend of the Reformation. From our text, we think about John the Baptizer. Jesus said, he's the Elijah that was prophesied. The one that was promised to come. the one that would herald the coming of the kingdom. John is that Elijah. And I think God sent an Elijah, a prophet also, during the 16th century, Martin Luther, to come to bring people back to God's word, to bring an erring church that did what it wanted and thought that it could get away with it because God wouldn't do anything, to bring that errant church back to the gospel, back to the word. And God sends people today. Maybe it's pastors and teachers and DCEs and DCOs and deaconesses, professional church workers, true, but God sends you and me also. He wants the word to fill us and then to be filled to overflowing so that that word flows from us and through us for people in our generation, our time, our families, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, so that today we would wish and pray, thy kingdom come. And as God works through his word, as God works through in you and me, that others too would have that desire, and that that also would be their prayer. We pray it for our church, for Holy Cross, for our church and school, for the ministry that takes place and has for almost 75 years. In 2 more years, 2 more Reformations, we'll be celebrating the 75th anniversary of our congregation and what God has done through his almighty power, that his name would be holied among us, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be accomplished in this place and through us. But it doesn't happen through a building. It happens through you and me. As God's word touches our hearts so that we would be the children of this generation who listen to his will and follow his desire. The last part of our text says, wisdom proves itself. God's wisdom, God's will, in and with and through us. What Jesus says is, if you have eyes, pay attention. See what God is accomplishing. If you have ears, listen to the prompting of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he works in your heart and mind. And as you have hearts filled with love of God, God's love in you, may you have the compassion of Christ to care for the needs of others. We celebrate God's precious word. Through Braille, we celebrate it through a language that people can understand, German at that time, English today, so that God's will would be done and his kingdom would come among us. May God bless you as children of the Reformation, as children of the Word. If you have eyes, see. If you have ears, hear. If your hearts are filled with his love, let that love pour through you to others so that his kingdom comes. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your eyes, your ears, and your hearts filled with the love of God in Christ Jesus. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen.